Thank you, Dee Dee. Okay, welcome to A Guide to the 12 Traditions. This month we are on Tradition 5, which states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. Welcome, fellow travelers. Thank you for joining us today for our workshop on Tradition 5, the workshop series, Guide to the Traditions. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. This workshop is being recorded and the audio will be available at a later date. We kindly ask you to please rename yourself using your first name only. Cheryl?
We'll open our workshop today with the Serenity Prayer. Please join me. We'll have a moment of silence. Serenity Prayer. Higher power,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can,
and the wisdom to know the difference.
Thank you, everyone. Today's agenda, we will start with sharing our workshop mission and introduce our presenters. We'll go through the suggested commitment to service and our workshop guidelines. Then we'll be introducing the tradition, as it already has been mentioned previously. And then we'll do a skipped presentation. And then we're going to do an open discussion about the tradition. We will not be going into breakout rooms today. And then we'll do a takeaway sharing as well from today. And then we'll close up with our tradition meditation. Erin, did you want me to do this as well?
I got that. Thanks. Our mission is to provide education and experience through a series of 12 workshops on how the traditions work to keep meetings safe and recovery oriented by practicing of the spiritual principles. And now I'd like to introduce our tech hosts and all the people that have come together to bring this series about. Today, our tech host is Dee Dee.
Dee Dee. Hello.
And Cheryl F. from Toronto.
Hello, everyone.
And normally we have Mary Jo L. with us, but she's unable to be with us today. So Cheryl and I are going to do our best without her. And then we also have a pilot group. I'm not sure if any of them are here today, but we have a pilot group of Martin, Leslie, and Michelle, who once we work on the stuff, we present it to them in a separate meeting. With varying levels of service recovery and knowledge of the tradition, so that we can bring a well-rounded presentation here today. And I'm Erin D. On our next slide. I think we're gonna have Dee Dee read this for us, or Cheryl, I'm not sure.
We'll each read a slide. How about that one? I can begin. A suggested commitment to service. I perform service so that my program will be available for myself, and through those efforts, others may benefit. I will perform service and practice my recovery by 1, affirming that the true power of our program rests in the membership of the meetings and is expressed through a higher power and through group conscience. 2, confirming that our process is one of inclusion and not exclusion, showing special sensitivity to the viewpoint of the minority in the process of formulating the group conscience, so that any decision is relative of the spirit of the group and not merely the vote of the majority.
Three, placing principles before personalities. 4, keeping myself fit for service by working my recovery as a member of the program. 5, striving to facilitate the sharing of experience, strength, and hope at all levels, meetings, inner groups, regional committees, service boards, and world services. 6, accepting the different forms and levels of service and allowing those around me to each function according to their own abilities. 7, remaining willing to forgive myself and others for not performing perfectly. Dee Dee?
Number eight, being willing to surrender the position in which I serve in the interest of unity and to provide the opportunity for others to serve, to avoid problems of money, property, and prestige, and to avoid losing my own recovery through the use of service to act out my old behavior, especially in taking care of others, controlling, rescuing, being a victim, etc. Number nine, remembering I am a trusted servant, I do not govern. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our workshop guidelines today. So we will share in a general way for our purposes today. We kindly ask everyone to focus on the topic being presented so that we may cover all the material. Please remember to employ principles over personalities, curiosity over criticism, progress, not perfection, service coming from love, and our halt for humility, acceptance, love, and tolerance. Tradition 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. Our spiritual principle is singleness of purpose.
Okay. We have extra attendees today. Singleness of purpose. From our Big Red Book on page 515, we are an autonomous fellowship who answers to its membership and no one else. We are guided by the fellowship voice and a higher power. The message we carry in ACA meetings, treatment centers, and to professional groups is a clear message free of affiliation with outside issues. We don't mix the ACA message with other causes or philosophies, no matter how noble. To do so would cloud the ACA message of recovery. The message we carry is that ACA works for those who are willing to surrender, ask for help, and accept it. By carrying the message, we embrace the power of identification. We don't have to promote ACA. Our stories and sincerity attract people to ACA and to a better way of life. Tradition 5 skit. The following skit represents some members after an in-person meeting standing around a table that has various flyers from a lot of different sources. Remembering tradition 5, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. And we are going to begin the skit. Pat is a newcomer who picks up a flyer about using different therapeutic techniques like hypnosis to uncover memories.
Pat. Wow. This is great information. It really is great. Sorry.
I like the part about hypnosis. I've done it and really was great. I think you should check into it.
Actually, something like this is going to be offered at my business. I didn't realize this was part of the ACA program.
Give me that flyer. It doesn't belong on our literature table. Is not a part of the ACA program. And we made a decision to only have ACA literature on the table.
Chris, that was really rude. And besides, I think you're being too strict about what we decided.
This is ridiculous. A decision is a decision. I'm tired of fighting with people about what should be on this table. And how does doing hypnosis carry the ACA message?
I am so sorry if I caused a problem. I can just invite everybody to the next presentation at my office. I'll bring the flyers and I'll pass them out.
Chris, you're being a bully. Don't worry, Pat. I can't wait to see your flyer.
Passing out non-ACA flyers? What's next? A flyer to make Winnie the Pooh our group's mascot? End of skit.
Okay. We're going to go on. We have some questions on the next slide. Normally what we did was we went into breakout groups, but we were listening to some of the different suggestions over our different workshops. And one of them was to not go into breakout groups, which we did last month, and that we figured we were going to try again here. So I'm going to read them and give everybody a second to go, you know, just to look over them and think. And then we're going to take them one by one with raised hands and just have a little discussion about them. Discussion questions for tradition 5. Note, for this discussion, we are not referring to literature being read during a meeting. Okay, so this is after the meeting, or if, for example, in a Zoom meeting, it might be, you know, how are they posting that, what literature in there? 1, what makes the skit dysfunctional in terms of the fifth tradition? 2, what have you experienced as examples of what diverts a meeting from its primary purpose? 3, regarding the display of non-ACA materials and its effect on carrying the ACA message, A, what is the process groups use to determine if non-ACA material is appropriate? B, how does including a variety of literature and information from non-12-step resources and other 12-step fellowships affect the newcomer? Confusion, denial, diversion? C, if the group decides to display outside literature, what is the best way to display it? And 4, how does an online meeting provide literature, flyers, etc., while maintaining its primary purpose? And I would like to suggest that we just give everybody 60 seconds to look at the questions before we open up, and in discussion, we'll go in order of the questions. Okay. Cheryl, do you want to open them up, or would you like me to?
I can take from here, Erin. Thank you. Okay, so we will begin with question 1, and to help us facilitate, we'll take raised hands, like the virtual raised hands, please. And so we'll start with question 1. What, if you can share what makes the skit dysfunctional in terms of the tradition 5, the fifth tradition.
And we could, if we want, we could put the skit back up on the screen. We can go back to the skit. What makes it dysfunctional?
Thank you, that helps.
Trisha?
Hi, I'm Trisha. I'm a codependent adult child. So the first thing I thought about is that, okay, somebody may be advertising their business at a meeting, and that you really can't have anything like that at the meeting or anything that would divert it. the other thing is that I don't know if the person who put it down was a newcomer. I'm not sure if it says that, but maybe they could tell them gently that that doesn't belong there. I did find that one part about the person saying, what's next, a flyer to make a Winnie the Pooh our group's mascot, seemed kind of sarcastic, which was acting out. Besides, it's almost like there could be an easy way to stop this rather than it be an argument. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tricia. Nadine?
Hi, I'm Didi, adult child. And so I think that having literature, non-ACA literature, can be very confusing for a newcomer. And did cause some confusion in this skit because Pat goes straight to say, I didn't realize this was part of the ACA program. So that immediately caused some confusion. And another thing too, is I think that the character that did come up with the, what's next, a flyer for the Winnie the Pooh, I think that caused a little, it may be embarrassment or shame to the individual. So already this is not for the unity of the fellowship. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Julianne?
Well, I'm going to come right in on something that Dee Dee just said, and that is about shame. I found the comment from Chris, this is ridiculous, a decision is a decision, I'm tired of fighting with people. If we're going to come from love in our service, there is a more gentle way that that could have been said that didn't shame the people who were involved in the conversation. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Julianne.
Okay, so we'll move to the second question. If you want to go,
question. Thank you, everyone, for your shares on question one. Question two, what have you experienced as examples of what diverts a meeting from its primary purpose? Julianne.
I have found that being interrupted and being shamed in the middle of a share to definitely be something that diverts us from our primary purpose. Pass.
Thank you. Erin?
Thanks, Cheryl. This had always reminded me of one thing that happened at a meeting many, many years ago, which was that a member came into the room and had invitations to a picnic they were having. And it was like different people from different recovery programs, 12-step programs. And the member went and put the invitation down on all the chairs in the room. And of course, there were newcomers there. And, you know, the concern of many of us was, you know, wait a minute. You know, if a newcomer is going to go to this and it's a picnic that is going to have different 12-step fellowship programs and just anybody, you know, anyone that was coming to it, you know, that did not necessarily speak to our message, but that it was, you know, by promoting something that didn't belong to ACA, that it would be confusing, you know, so that was the start of it. Yeah, pass.
Thank you, Erin. We'll take Quinn next.
Thank you. Thank you so much for putting on this workshop. I was looking in the Big Red Book on Tradition 5, and it talks about centers the fellowship and simplifies most discussions. What I'm seeing here is an awful lot of defensive, this is my idea, I've got to defend it to the death. Which decentralizes and brings up the laundry list traits. So if I'm looking at what are the principles of ACA, what are the things that really do help me come back to the purpose of ACA, it removes the my idea or my business's idea or this author's defensivism. It's really just this is what is taught as what's in the program. And I can agree or disagree with it. That's totally cool. It's more of then I don't have to be defensive about it. And that helps me to continue to center what I'm doing in ACA as opposed to, well, now here's another author. And I do reference other authors, and we're certainly encouraged and allowed to do that as referenced in the material as a way of supporting the message of ACA. And then that brings me to this cohesiveness that I wouldn't have if I chased every new tradition or every new teaching under the sun. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Quinn. Karen?
Let me move to a different room. Maybe that'll make it easier. I can hear you okay, but I know my audio sometimes creates problems. Is this better?
It's much better, yes.
Much better, much better.
Great. Great, wonderful. My experience is that especially people who come into ACA relatively new, but have experience in other healing methodologies, as well as other 12-step programs, talk about their experiences in those modalities in ways that can be confusing about how they relate to the ACA program. And specifically, what I find myself thinking about is people who have experience, and I'm not questioning their credentials as yoga teachers or meditation teachers or as counselors and therapists, where they've earned their credentials in the world at large in those capacities and may have a lot to share from the perspective of their training and their credentialing. They don't necessarily have clarity about how the ACA message is different from that. And so they arrive in the rooms offering their own expertise in whatever field they're credentialed in as part of the ACA program, which I find to be confusing, especially to somebody who's new to the program, because the ACA message, as it's stated in the solution, is we learn to reparent ourselves with gentleness, humor, love, and respect. And the moment I have a meditation teacher or a yoga teacher or a therapist in the room with me presenting their own professional expertise as part of the ACA program, they become some kind of authority that I look to, which is confusing, because what I'm looking for in my ACA recovery is how to learn to reparent myself. I'm not looking to a meditation technique that will ease my struggle. I'm not looking for a yoga practice that will teach me to be present in my body. I'm not looking for a therapist that can guide me in this process. I'm coming to meetings to learn to reparent myself with gentleness, humor, love, and respect. And I want to add to this perspective that I was a little baffled by one of the presentations at the AWC last weekend, which, when I Googled the term that was being presented, led me to the book by an author whose full name sounded a lot like the first name and first initial of the presenter at the workshop, where I find myself questioning, was that really ACA or was that an outside modality that was being presented through the AWC, where I have questions about, was this really in alignment with Tradition 5?
Yeah, and not only Tradition 5, but yeah, outside influences, yeah.
Thank you, Karen, for your share. Are there any other shares before we move to question 3 about your experience? Okay, Julianne.
Yeah, if we're talking about examples of what diverts a meeting from its primary purpose, gatekeeping of meetings diverts us from our primary purpose of carrying the message. If we limit who can attend meetings, we are diverted from our primary purpose. If we question other people's higher power, we are diverting the meeting from its primary purpose. And I'm talking about these things being the focus of the meeting, okay? I'm not talking about parking lot conversations or, you know, you're talking with your friend about it, whatever. I'm talking about in the meeting, someone is banned from the meeting because they don't meet a specific criteria that diverts us from our primary purpose. We cannot carry the message to the adult child who is still suffering if they are not in the room with us. And telling people that they cannot find recovery because they don't have a specific higher power, which I have also seen in meetings, diverts us from our primary purpose of carrying the message. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Julianne. Didi, did you have something to say on question two?
Yes, please.
We'll stay here. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So I have experienced in my recovery journey where it's very difficult for how do I phrase this? I think I'm just going to come out and say when we put personalities before what is the saying? Personalities before
principles?
I'm sorry?
Principles?
Yes, thank you. My mind just went, you know, I think that when I do, I would like to know that I'm aware of doing it. I am a human being, but I think if I put personalities before principles, then I am diverting from the primary purpose of being in the fellowship. So I think that covers a huge scope of possibilities in diverting from the primary purpose. Thank you.
Thank you, Dee. And Tricia.
Hi, Tricia again. So I just listening to everybody's answers, I think that we really need to accept people for where they are in their recovery. And it's just like the judgmentalness. I don't even know if that's a word. For where people come from, that bothers me in meetings. And it's like no matter where a person is, there are a lot of people who are trauma survivors in some way or the other, and it carrying a lot of baggage. Just to accept them and, not to ostracize them or, stop them from coming to meetings because they may bother you, you know, or me, you know, and to just accept that person for being where they are and who they are at this moment. Thank you.
Bishop. All right. Thank you, everyone, for sharing your experience with question five and question two. We'll move to question three. It's three parts, so we'll go one at a time, one part at a time. So regarding the display of non-ACA materials and its effect on carrying the ACA message, A, what is the process groups use to determine if non-ACA material is appropriate? So we'd like you to share what you're aware of as a process. Julianne, thank you.
in the We Agnostics community, we use a lot of outside non-ACA material because secular material is not available through ACA. And we go through the group conscience process, you know. And I know this is going to kind of overlap with number four, but we have a Discord server that we use for the We Agnostics community. And we have areas set up in the Discord server that are read only. So you can't have crosstalk or conversation about it, where materials that have been recommended by other members of the fellowship are stored. And it's pretty much a take what you like and leave the rest. Yeah, we also have a book list and we have a website that we use to provide links to secular material for the We Agnostics community. Pass.
Thank you, Julianne. Quinn.
Thank you. For me, it's really simple. We've had this question come up over and over and over again in my group. And on page 612 of the Big Red Book, it talks about selection of non-program literature. It's really pretty straightforward. And I think that because this is a 12-step program, that part of what I need to do is to take a look and see, how does this further the 12-step program? If I want to have a book group on Gabor Maté, I can do that, no problem. I can mention it, I can talk about his teachings, I can do all kinds of things with that information, following the guidelines on these couple of pages. And does it further the 12-step recovery program, or is it its own thing? If it's its own thing, great. Take it outside of ACA. There's plenty of room for it. But when I'm looking at it, does this material adhere to the 12 steps and 12 traditions? Is it in alignment with the laundry list, the solution and sponsorship or fellow travelership? Does it align with these traditions that are outlined on page 612? And then outside literature and meeting announcements. I love this. Meeting material which is not ACA WSO approved should be kept separate from the ACA books and literature. It doesn't mean don't bring it out and never use it. It means to allow the program to speak for itself, which is pretty freaking big. We had a newcomer in our group ask, what do I do next? And I crafted a reply, because a lot of it is steps, traditions, meeting, sponsorship, fellow travelers, the schematic, this book, that book, what about the reparenting book? What about the laundry list book? There's a lot of moving parts. Tony A's steps work. What about the YouTube videos? There's so much going on that there's enough in here to keep me busy for a while. The other stuff is wonderful adjunct material, but it really isn't what I came here for. If I could self-help book my way out of my dysfunction, I would have already done it by now. So I think that that really being clear on the richness of this program and the unveiling of the stuff that comes in here, and it was said earlier, how does that help me reparent my own inner kids? How does that bring me back to the home that I'm trying to build in myself? That's what I really need to take a look at when this is stuff that's applied to me. And then in our meetings, I think that there's a real delicacy about, am I going after the new shiny better? Because what I'm doing is a little bit rough. You know, some of this stuff is asking me to come into contact with parts that are still really hurting and grieving. I don't need to do an awful lot of proselytizing about other things, because if somebody is drawn to reading that new parenting book, they will. But I don't need to do an awful lot of diluting of what makes ACA so different from the other programs. Thank you.
Thank you, Quinn. Yasmina, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks everyone for everyone who spoke and for this workshop. I'm just sitting here and wondering, because the question is, what is the process groups use to determine if non-ACA material is appropriate? And I guess I'm just kind of sitting here wondering what happens. I know of a couple of meetings in New York City area, especially there's like one borough that's particularly influenced by this, where like a personality cult is kind of developed. And so I'm kind of like just sitting, what happens if a meeting doesn't do this exercise, like doesn't, you know, meeting doesn't question itself about using non-ACA material. And then kind of organizes, like there's like an event that's being organized. And then kind of like, I kind of question myself when I hear people advertising that event, because I like, and I'm like, do I say something? Like, actually, this is kind of more of a question. I don't have any answer here. I'm wondering if people had that experience. You know, when I hear people going like, oh my God, everybody should go to this share a day. And I'm very aware that majority of the material at the share a day will actually not be within the spirit of ACA recovery, because it will not be about finding your inner parent, you know, loving parent and healing yourself from within. It will be about outside solutions. I don't have the answers, so I'm sitting with it, which is why I'm also attending this workshop. And I guess I'm just voicing that. This is not an answer. This is just a question. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you. Yes, Nina. I jotted down your question. Maybe we can do that in our question and answer time. So that we'll come back to that. And hopefully we can take away an answer for that. Thank you. Erin.
Okay. I was kind of relating to what was just said in an experience that I had, you know, like what happened to me. So what happened for me many years ago, I was in ACA for about 5 years, and then I had a career educational things come up, and back then there were not a lot of meetings. And so there were people that were in my home group that were attending something else. And it was a very popular thing at the time, and it spoke to me. And so it was on a night that I didn't have to do my classes. So I started to go to that, and it basically ended up being a relapse for me, because while in and of itself, it was a nice spiritual program, you know, with noble causes and et cetera, as it says in our book. But it left out me feeling. It had nothing to do with me feeling my feelings. And that for me was a recovery killer. So. So I don't know if that speaks to what you were saying, Yasmina, but that was what my experience was, that I was diverted because I kind of had to be diverted. There weren't any other meetings back then, but I learned my lesson. So thank you for listening.
Thank you, Erin. Thank you very much for sharing your experience. Would anybody like to share on part A of question 3 before we move to part B? So B, how does including a variety of literature and information from non-12-step resources and other 12-step fellowships affect the newcomer? Julianne, go ahead.
Thank you. I'd actually like to turn that question around a little bit and say, how does not having literature that speaks to the newcomer increase confusion, denial, and diversion? In the We Agnostics community, we get so many people that it's their first 12-step meeting ever. because they knew they couldn't go to the God-based meetings. Or we get people who are cult survivors, where they have religious abuse in their background. And what I hear over and over again is, I cannot read the ACA literature. I can't do it. I'm so grateful to have found We Agnostics, because here I can at least sit in the meetings and not feel different, not feel apart. So how does not having literature that speaks to the inner child, and I've heard it said before in literature committee meetings, you know, we translate into other languages because it speaks to the inner child, right? Who learned a different language as their primary language. And ACA does not have literature that speaks to the inner child of the atheist, the agnostic, those confused about a higher power. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Julianne. Yes, Nina?
I wanted to speak about, I do think that having literature that's, I guess what I'm going to speak to is that I have a dear friend who is a newcomer to ACA. And one of the meetings he started attending seems to heavily, it seems to be there present popularity of an outside kind of trauma therapy. And he kind of got confused and went kind of down that rabbit hole of a self-help book. And I have to trust that, you know, his higher power will find his way. But for him, because he kind of went down not ACA route, even though he was going to ACA meetings because popularity of this other therapy at this meeting was great. He went down that road, and it's a very intellectual solution. And so he's stuck because and now he's like, oh, ACA is not working. And it diverts from reaching to our inner child. It diverts us from our primary purpose, which is connecting to our inner child, reparenting ourselves, because there's so many different shiny objects out there that look awesome. And some of them work for people that, you know, like, but if someone is in ACA, then they should be given opportunity to try the ACA solution and see if that is, you know, what is the right thing for them, you know? I've been very saddened by his struggle, but I mean, it's everybody's on their journey. I've definitely seen firsthand how having muddled messages at a meeting of different therapies and different this can confuse and sidetrack. And that definitely diverted from the primary purpose. So that's all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, Nina, for your sharing. I actually could share about, I would like to share about 3B. So when I look at how does including a variety of literature and information from non-12-step resources, if I'm a newcomer and I've been, you know, suggested to go to an ACA meeting, or I've found the laundry list and I've connected to it, which is how I found my way to ACA, I remember page 82 of my BRB, and it tells me from my identity papers why I'm here and what I have to do. So when I see lots of information on a literature table that is not ACA related, I could get lost as a newcomer and be like, why am I here? Because they haven't read page 82. I have, after, you know, coming into my first few meetings. But that tells me why I'm here. But as a newcomer, I don't know why I'm here. And if there's nothing on that table that tells me that this is an ACA meeting, why I'm here and what I'm supposed to be doing, my 12 steps, my 12 traditions, I definitely could be confused. The denial that I'm in as I enter ACA will continue. And I may not come back because of being confused and wanting to stay in my denial because it's comfortable. So that's how I see including a variety of stuff that's not ACA could affect a newcomer coming into the room. Thank you, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Thanks for sharing. If I went to a Ford dealership and they had a ton of information about how awesome Volkswagen was, I might kind of question why the Ford dealership isn't so awesome. So if I'm coming into ACA and they're telling me how fantastic this other modality is, I think it delegitimizes the program itself and what the purpose of this particular program is. So yeah, if I have information about all these other organizations, I think that would have me question the message and to see, is this really a good idea? I think I could go on and on, but I really think that hits my point, that I really want to be in an organization that believes in itself. Thank you.
Thank you,
Quinn. Hi, Dee. Thank you. I'm an infant in the 12-step programs, and I absolutely fell in love with the fact that it is a spiritual program and not a religious program. I've personally experienced a lot of religious trauma that has affected me my entire life, more so now because I'm working on myself for the first time in my life. So the fact that I don't have to identify what or who my higher power is because of the trauma I've experienced, the religious trauma, I kept coming back. The program does not tell me who to make as my higher power. And so I have to be very open-minded and remind myself, because I think I do see the word God in here in the literature. But when I see the word God, I understand that in my experience, the word God has caused me a lot of trauma. I relate God to man. I relate humans, spirituality to a higher power. I relate higher power to a spiritual person. So in coming in, I had a disconnect with my higher power. And through my journey, I'm learning I do not have to make the choice today. All I have to do is believe that there is a power greater than me. And I'm good with that until I decide in my journey what or who or if it is going to be my God, my higher power. Thank you for letting me share that.
Thank you, Dee Dee. And we could take Lynn, last person for 3B. Thank you. Go ahead, Lynn.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Could you say that again?
I just said we'll take you as our last share for question 3B. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm just looking at the the tradition itself and the question. The traditions is the primary purpose being to carry its message, I believe. One primary purpose to carry its message to the adult child who suffers. So when I look at the question includes the answer. It assumes the answer. So, you know, kind of don't think it's really a fair question. Because it's telling you what the answer is. So that's just my own opinion. Thanks.
Thank you for sharing. Okay, we'll move on to question 3C now. Now, if the group now has decided to display outside literature, what is the best way to display it? Didi.
Separately. I'm reading the out of the big red book, as to not confuse the newcomer. And I'd like to focus on just one word, if we may, on the tradition. It says each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the adult child who still suffers. So what I'm understanding this to be is that it is the entire group that makes the decision and not one person. And I think that if the group decides to display outside literature, the best way to do it is separately from the ACA literature. And although I am reading it out of the book, I think that it makes sense because the primary purpose is to spread the message to others about this fellowship. Thank you, Dee Dee. Done. Pass.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Karen, go ahead.
Did you call on me or was that Erin?
Oh, Karen. Sorry, Karen. Go ahead.
Thank you. I also had to make sure I went to the room in my house where I have good connection. So let me know if you can't hear me okay.
Much appreciated. You're very clear, Karen. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. So I have two comments I want to make about the question of the group displaying outside literature. One of them is ACA does have an open literature policy, so there is no requirement to stick to what, I don't know what we're calling it right now, whether it's WSO approved or conference approved, but there is no need to stick to specific ACA literature. And I've heard examples of literature cited here that I believe are not formally approved by WSO, so that are considered by some to be specific ACA literature. So I think that's a really important question to consider for each group making a decision about what literature they want to share. And sort of how does it contribute to the ACA message? Which again, to me, is about learning for myself to reparent myself with gentleness, humor, love, and respect. So how does that piece of literature that I'm suggesting to my group to display and make available to newcomers, how does that support that process? How does that help carry the message? And then the other thing is, how do I make the distinction? Like, how do I present it? Do I present it as a book written by an author who really spoke to me and maybe to other members of the group? And that's why we decided to make it available to newcomers. Or do I present it as if it had the stamp of approval of fellowship approval in some form? And like certain pieces of literature that have been mentioned at this meeting, are presented as ACA materials, like the schematic or Tony A's materials or other materials that I believe were written at some point in the past by people who were involved in founding our fellowship. But they may not have the official stamp of fellowship approval. And so how do we make that distinction? How do we talk about that in our meetings to make sure we're not creating confusion in the mind of the newcomer who really does not have the knowledge base, not the sophistication to make that distinction? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Erin. Karen, sorry, now I'm doing it. Go ahead, Quinn.
Thank you. The best way to display it, tradition 4, each group is autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or ACA as a whole. We cooperate with all of their 12-step programs. I think it depends on the group. I also think that, I don't want to discredit newcomers. I really don't want to pretend that newcomers don't have a brain and don't... can't make decisions for themselves. So I really want to allow a little bit of flow in this. The third part that I really wanted to bring up is that we've got a group conscience meeting in my group every month, every single month. And anything can be brought up and anything can be changed and we can make mistakes and we can change things around. And we can also allow we allow questions for newcomers every single meeting. I mean, this is something that is just built into the structure of my group. I want to allow ACA or myself as a member of ACA to be able to make mistakes and to be confused and then also come back to a place of, oh yeah, this, we went a little bit too far off the bar. We can come back in. So I think that that it's the best, like there, I don't think that there is one best way. I think that each group can almost braille itself into, does this feel good? Does this feel good? Does this further the authenticity of this group? So it's, I think that's more of a moving target than an actual this or that answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Quinn. Go ahead, Julianne.
Thank you. So We Agnostics has two groups, three groups that specifically are centered around what would be considered outside literature. We have Coffee with the Stoics that reads from Stoic literature, and we discuss how it applies to recovery. We have a meeting that reads from Brené Brown's Atlas of the Heart, which is a book that is geared specifically to helping people identify and name their emotions to help build emotional granularity. We talk about how that relates to our ACA recovery. And we have another group that studies the traditions and the concepts, and we use a piece of literature from Al-Anon called Paths to Recovery, because ACA does not have literature written about the concepts. And so we pull from outside materials. And one thing that we are very careful to do in these meetings is reference ACA's stance on outside literature. And there it says, it has always been accepted that ACA groups should remain open in choosing literature. That is, ACA meetings may draw from various sources. And then that's in our script. And then there's a paragraph describing the literature that we are using in that meeting and why we find it applicable to ACA recovery. I think it's important to be very clear if you are using outside literature in the meeting, to state clearly that it is not ACA literature and to state why it applies to ACA recovery. We're a group of virtual meetings. We have never been face-to-face meetings. We Agnostics is, as far as I know, never going to be a face-to-face meeting. And so everything we have figured out, we have had to figure out within the realm of virtual. You know, we don't have printed materials that we display, okay? So when we talk about our reading list, we have our reading list separated into ACA material and non-ACA material. So there's a separation between them. They're not intermingled as if they are all approved by the conference, by WSO, whoever's approving literature nowadays. However, we as a group took a group conscience to determine that these were the books that we wanted on our group list, our group reading list. So I think it's important to know that we can use outside literature, that it is important to keep it separate from ACA, and just be very clear in your intention. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Julianne. And that's very helpful, Cher, to go into question four, which we'll move to, is how does an online meeting provide literature, flyers, et cetera, while maintaining its primary purpose? And we'll open up the floor for sharing with that. And Julianne, you can lead us in that question.
Yeah, I have a lot of experience with this one. The We Agnostics community is a little over 2 years old now, and we've gone from one meeting a week to eight. We've had to figure some stuff out along the way. Our Discord server is our primary means of communication outside the meetings. We do have a parking lot after every meeting that can sometimes go for an hour, hour and a half. We take questions from newcomers and we talk about things that are happening in ACA and in We Agnostics, but primarily to get information about literature, flyers, meetings, we have our website where our calendar of our meetings exists. We cross-link to other secular fellowships. We have a page for that, which is separate from all the ACA information. But a lot of the people who come to us are looking specifically for secular meetings, and they are often very difficult to find on the ACA website, where people have checked every box because they welcome everybody. But the meetings are not necessarily specifically secular meetings. And on our Discord server, we have areas for ACA literature, and it's very carefully labeled ACA. We also have ACA virtual events. We have information on the annual business conference. We have information on ballot proposals. I mean, and it's all very segmented and separated out that this is ACA information. However, we're also about building community. And within the guise of building community, we have areas that are specifically designated for outside information, outside conversations on everything from recovery from growing up in a cult to freeing our feelings to how to set boundaries, gratitude. So we have conversation areas and literature areas specifically set aside for those things. We also have every one of our meetings has a separate area on our Discord server. And we have general conversation about the meetings. We have our business meeting area set out. We have links to the scripts that people use to moderate meetings. We have links to the chairperson calendar if you want to sign up to chair or host the meetings, because we always run with a host and two co-hosts in every one of our meetings. We also have, I feel like I'm missing something, I can't remember. So each meeting has a very separate area where the meeting is autonomous. The meeting can talk about what literature they're reading in that meeting, and it doesn't cross with other meetings. We also have our fun, you know, we will learn to have fun. We will learn how to play and have fun in our lives. We have our hobby area, where we talk about everything from gardening to backpacking to walking to travel. And it's a very communication heavy area. So we work really hard to maintain separateness in a virtual world between what is ACA and what is us building community and healthy recovery. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Julianne, for sharing. Erin?
Thanks, Cheryl. I'm going to bring in some of the other kind of things about the Tradition 5. I know that basically what we tended to focus on in the skit and in our questions was about literature. But there are other questions, concerns, things that come up in relationship to carrying the message as well. I'm going to read again from page 515. The message we carry in ACA meetings, treatment centers, and to professional groups is a clear message free of affiliation with outside issues. We don't mix the ACA message with other causes or philosophies, no matter how noble. To do so would cloud the ACA message of recovery. The message we carry is that ACA works for those who are willing to surrender, ask for help, and accept it. Recovery cannot begin until the adult child admits he or she is powerless over the effects of family dysfunction. And the some of the questions that we are actually in our big red book on page 517, talk about other ways of carrying the message and staying with that singleness of purpose. How does it carry the message? How can your group carry the message other than literature that stays within our singleness of purpose? And how does that primary purpose help the group avoid controversy with outside issues? And the other kind of question that always comes to me with any of the traditions is, how does the spiritual principle or principles of any and all traditions help me in my recovery? When I'm thinking about Tradition 5, and first I'm always thinking of autonomy is the thread that runs through all of our traditions. And singleness of purpose specifically with Tradition 5. And what plays into that for me is having humility, because in many of the scenarios where I've seen the purpose become a diluted message, and a diluted message runs the risk of dividing us in the group or as members, that I the way I've often worked with singleness of purpose, even with fellow travelers or with myself, it's like I'm going someplace and I know it's going to be a triggering event. How am I going to keep myself in check? And what I'll say to myself is singleness of purpose. Why am I going to that event? What is it about? And I need to stay right there in that and not be diverted from anything else that might be happening or that's going on there. So those sort of questions in terms of the spiritual principles of autonomy, singleness of purpose, humility, how does that also help us in terms of carrying the message in the rooms, practicing these principles in all my affairs? So outside of the room, because I'm carrying a message to a newcomer who may not be here yet. So if anybody wants to touch on any of those as well, what your experience has been. Of course, if you have anything more about 4, please go ahead. Quinn?
Thank you, Erin.
Thank you. I'm also in an online community that has not met in person as well. I'm in person meetings sometimes here and in other states, but my home group is completely online. And the way that we deal with it is we have a couple of different platforms that are different than the ones that have been previously mentioned. On the Google Drive, it's all ACA all the time. And then we have a Slack channel. And in that Slack channel, I'm looking at it right now, cute animal pictures, different books, music, random recipes. And then each meeting has its own channel where it has it's just ACA. So again, it's very carefully delineated. And then we also allow people to be people, to say whatever they want to bring up, books, bring up outside workshops and forums. And oh my gosh, have you heard this podcast? All of that happens in the parking lot during and in people's individual shares. So if there's information that's being shared in someone's share, those 3 minutes are sacred. That is their share, whatever they're sharing about. When we're talking about announcements at the end, does anyone have any ACA related announcements? That's it. And then afterwards in the parking lot, there's plenty of room, plenty of time for outside things to be brought in. I think that there's a way to be careful about the ACA message without muzzling people. And there's a way of being able to focus on the ACA message within the meeting and then bring in the richness and the sheer amount of amazingness that's happening now in trauma recovery. There's so much that's going on. It's great. And it's also not part of our ACA meeting. So I think that being able to know immediately, is this ACA, is it not? That really enables anyone who's coming to the meetings, newcomer or not, to know where are they landing? Are they landing on the foundation of ACA, or are they landing on the foundation of anything else? Thank you.
Thank you, Quinn. Lynn, go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I just wanted to get some clarity. We have the slide on the first four questions. So the last question was aside from the four discussion questions, right? The discussion questions for tradition five, a separate question was brought up. Could you repeat what that question was?
Yeah, I can repeat what the question was. Thanks, Lynn. We didn't have it on the slide, I'm sorry. So to recap the spiritual principles, how do the spiritual principles of tradition five aid you in your personal recovery? That basically in this script and most of our questions, we were addressing how literature pertains to our primary purpose or doesn't pertain to our primary purpose, but that there are other ways of carrying the message that can or cannot dilute the message or that can enhance the message. Like, you know, how do we do it within the principles and what have been your experiences around those things?
Okay, so that was a separate question. Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Lynn. Dee, go ahead.
Tricia was up before I... Tricia's up first. It's because I have a host.
Oh.
Thank you.
Tricia again. So, you know, I just want to comment that I found out about ACA and CODA through a trauma book that saved my life. And it's a complex post-traumatic stress disorder from surviving to thriving. And I have told people about that book because when I see somebody that is in a flashback, this book has saved my life. So I feel like if I didn't mention that to someone, it would be a disservice to them. And, where that book mentioned CODA and ACA to me is where it brought me. And I had also, 13 years ago started Al-Anon and then ACA, but Each 12-step group has this same tradition. It's almost like, why can't we just get along together, you know? And, you know, just like in the group, it's like we need to accept each other. I mean, we all have our own message, but we can still accept that people may be from AA, people may be from NA, people may be from Love Addicts, I mean, all these different groups. But to say that, like, we're the best, we're number one, I mean, I don't know. It's almost like it sounds a little bit, I don't know, conceited sometimes, but I do have to say that as far as I'm concerned, ACA is the most inclusive group that I have seen and has the broadest amount of information for trauma, for inner child, for, a teenager, everything. There is so much information in this group that I have to say it's excellent. So thank you. I'm really happy to be here.
I'm going to interrupt just for a second, Cheryl, because we are at 1:17 and we close at 1:30. So I'm just going to ask, well, we have one, two, three more shares, and then we probably need to look into closing.
Thank you, Erin. Dee, go ahead.
Hi. Sorry, excuse me. I do belong to another fellowship, and outside literature has been group conscience approved. Primarily, it is everything. We've got 9 meetings and 1 workshop in the fellowship I belong to, my home group, the home group I belong to. And we announce prior to the reading and after the reading, that this book and author are not a part of the fellowship approved literature, but that it has been group conscienced. So by saying that before the reading and after the reading, hopefully it'll clarify that to a newcomer. So announcing, for example, so-and-so, this has not been, it's CODA. It's not CODA literature. However, it has not been group. I'm sorry, I'm getting all. So we announced before that this is not CODA literature approved or conference approved literature. However, it has been group conscienced in the fellowship that we will read it. So that's announced prior to and after that particular reading. And that's how we kind of keep it separate in that fellowship, that group. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dee Dee. Karen?
Thank you. So with respect to the question we're discussing, how has Tradition 5 impacted me in my life overall? I want to comment and how does the spiritual principle, sort of the singularity of purpose, to that I want to comment that I started working both Al-Anon and ACA at the same time, because in the community I got into recovery in, they were treated as overlapping, pretty much the same thing. It was an overlapping group of people, and I needed a lot of meetings, so I was going to whatever meetings were available. It took me a while to figure out that they are not the same program. And actually, Tradition 5 was a huge part of helping me understand that. Because I just want to read for a cross-reference Tradition 5 and Al-Anon. Each Al-Anon family group has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves, by encouraging and understanding our alcoholic relatives, and by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics. So when I'm looking for support in helping the families of alcoholics that I am a part of, I go to Al-Anon and I find a lot of tools and resources there. When I'm looking for support in learning to reparent or to parent myself with gentleness, humor, love, and respect, I don't always find what I'm looking for in Al-Anon. I find that in ACA. So that's what I go to ACA meetings for. And the idea of the singularity of purpose really helps me identify, why am I here in this meeting, in this job, in this circumstance in life, and what is my purpose in being here, and how can I work to support that purpose rather than to dilute it and be distracted from it. Thank you for letting me comment.
you, Karen. And Julianne, go ahead.
Thank
you.
And
we'll go into quotes.
Okay. So we do not gatekeep in We Agnostics. In a little over 2 years, we've not changed the password. We've never banned anyone. And the only people that we've ever moved out of the meeting have been active Zoom disruptors. We've had that happen a couple of times over the 2 years. Our purpose as ACA meetings is to carry the message. And in order to do that, our meetings have to be open and available to everyone who seeks recovery. It's just that simple. You know, the meetings have to be open to those who want recovery, because if the meeting's not open and available for that, we're not carrying the message. How this has helped me personally is I've really learned how to meet people where they are. You know, not everybody is going to be able to do service at the same level. Not everybody is going to want to do service. Some people are just going to want to show up to the meeting, you know. Accepting people as they are in ACA meetings has worked to help me accept people as they are in my personal life. So what's the purpose of the meeting? To carry the message, right? What's the purpose of being a caregiver to my stepdad when he's going through cancer treatment? Being a caregiver to my stepdad when he's going through cancer treatment. You know, I can't treat that the same way I treat an ACA meeting. However, learning to accept people as they are certainly made it easier for me to be the interface with his treatment team. So I take these principles outside of the rooms and they make my life better. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Julianne. And thank you everyone for all your sharing today. I will hand it over to Erin to wrap us up, and then I'll share the presentation when Erin prompts me.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Cheryl. I know our slides, I think they might be in a different order than what I have them, but I did want to, before we went to our references and stuff, I did want to go to the closing with the Tradition 5 meditation. I also wanted to mention, so carrying the message to the adult child who still suffers, I think of this in terms of carrying the message to the adult child who hasn't found us yet, you know, which we often say in our closing prayer, that a lot of what I hear today in this meeting and about our literature and the different aspects of it and the variety of it, I think is all that variety is so important to carrying the message, because it makes me think about my brother, who had not done a 12-step program until less than a year before his death. And if he had gone to a meeting that was ACA and it was always about trauma, he would have told you he didn't have any trauma. If he had gone to a meeting that it was always about, you know, one specific thing, it's so much easier to deny that when you're not ready. So when I think about, you know, our primary purpose, carrying the message to the one that's still out there suffering, although some of us are still suffering when we're here, I know I am from time to time, you know, keeping with, you know, the almost keep it simple slogan, that we want to attract in many ways, but not to say only this way. Because, you know, if my brother would not have come here because he understood it to be one thing, and yet he committed suicide a couple months later. So, you know, that just stays in my mind, that we attract by a variety of things, but we don't have to say we are just this one thing. But the simpleness of our message, which Karen brought up earlier, was, you know, the solution of reparenting ourselves, the solution of going into our inner child and healing that inner child, feeling our feelings. You know, that to me is the keep it simple message. And I'll hear what I need to hear when I'm ready, if I can come in at a pace that I can accept. So our closing meditation, if we can bring up that slide. You'll have to skip ahead, I think, to, yeah, there we go. Thank you, Didi. Closing Tradition 5 meditation. Give it a moment for a deep breath. Higher power, help me remember that ACA has one primary purpose, which centers the fellowship and which simplifies most discussions. Help me remember to ask myself a simple question when I am doing the business of ACA. Does what we are about to do support the primary purpose of carrying the ACA message to another adult child needing help? And then we can go backwards to, I believe, our references. Cheryl, going to take over there.
Thank you, Erin. So if you need to contact us, please do at traditions@acawso.org. If you need any information or have questions or just want to offer feedback, that would be greatly appreciated. Our recordings and slides are located on the adultchildren.org website. That's the red website. And you go to resources on the header, and you'll find our workshops through that. And the dates and Zoom information is on our events calendar. If that's not how you found it today, in the future, you can go to our events calendar, which I believe is found through our service website, which is the blue one, acawso.org. And there's committees, calendars, as well as events calendars. Thank you. And we will go into our seventh tradition contribution. Every ACA group ought to be self-supporting, fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Your contribution is a critical part of maintaining WSO services and delivering the message to the adult child who still suffers. You can contribute on our adultchildren.org website in many, many ways. So please visit that if you would like to make a seventh tradition contribution. Thank you. And I'll say a big thank you for everyone joining us, tech support, all the members today who shared, and those who listened. We are so grateful to have you join us. Thank you so much.
We can close with a group serenity prayer. If everybody would like to unmute. And please feel free to say the serenity prayer in the version that most calls to your heart and your personal recovery.
Thank you.
Moment of silence for the adult child who has not yet found the message. Let's begin. Higher purpose. Thanks, everyone. Next month we're going to be thrown off by a week, so we'll be. Oh wait, that's June. Never mind. I'm talking about July. We're here on the fourth Saturday. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Thank you, Erin. Thank you, Cheryl.